Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on Fridays in May, each film touches upon Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, including Goya or the Hard Way to Enlightenment and the discreet charm of the bourgeoisie at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a spring super sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics. We're so pleased to be joined by the editor-in-chief at Primetimer, Danette Chavez, and from Deadline senior editor Dominic Patton. Let's talk first about the NBA playoffs as a TV event, because, of course, live sports have driven so much of rating success and advertising. We're going to be talking with Dominic shortly about what he thinks about the ability of these NBA playoffs to attract significant numbers of viewers. But let's start with Danette on Big Mood, which is a comedy series starring Nicola Coughlan, Lydia West also, and Camilla Whitehill is the creator of the series, which premieres tomorrow on Tubi. Danette, thanks so much. What do you think of Big Mood?
Yeah, I've been describing the show as HBO's Girls if it had been a two-hander. And I just think it's such an apt comparison because it captures the messiness of this chapter in life, you know, like late 20s, early 30s. And there's also just something so distinctly millennial about this dramedy, you know, like characters realizing that technology has actually hindered their ability to connect with people. And just this feeling that you're always going to be playing catch up in your life. Big Mood has a lot of big ideas on its mind, though, from the importance of finding community to highlighting how mental health is a journey, really, a process. It's not a destination. It's not just this place that you get to end up after X number of years or treatments. And it renders them all with really biting humor, which again is what reminds me of Girls, stylish direction. And then you've also just got these two stellar leads. She plays the wallflower with this huge secret in Bridgerton, but Nicola Coughlan has been owning the spotlight since she first appeared in Derry Girls 6 years ago. She's such an exciting and vivacious performer, and she puts that energy to great use in Big Mood. And Lydia West, who was great in It's a Sin, that HBO limited series from a few years back, she was kind of kept on the sidelines of that show, I think. So it's great to see her have the chance to properly shine in something like Big Mood.
And what's your sense of how they handle the lead character's bipolar disorder? How that is that dealt with in a straightforward way, or how do they handle that?
I think that they're as sensitive as they can be without going full docuseries. You know, like nothing is glamorized or nor is anyone demonized, right? Like it's certainly depicted as a struggle. But, you know, there's also something very unique in how Camilla Whitehill, who is a playwright, depicts the whole thing. There's, you know, it's not enough to ask for help, but it's an important point to make. It's everybody's journey's different with their mental health, but what I appreciated from the show is that, you know, asking for help is just the beginning of the process.
We're talking about the comedic drama Big Mood on the free streaming service Tubi, starring Nicola Coughlan and Lydia West. Camilla Whitehill is the creator of the series. It premieres tomorrow. There will be a total of 6 episodes of Big Mood. Dominic, let's talk about the NBA playoffs as television event because, of course, for networks and streamers, live sports is the holy grail for them because it's one of the few places you get significant tune-in to sell ads around What's the sense of how attractive the NBA playoffs are going to be this season?
I think the NBA playoffs are going to be very attractive, and I say this as an Angelino. We've got both the Lakers and the Clippers in round one. So you're looking at what's the second biggest television market in America is doubling down. So you can ask yourself, last year in the NBA Finals with the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, 11.6 million viewers on average. Now, those numbers, if we're of a certain age and you remember, you know, tens of millions watching MASH, don't seem so big. Or even you look at the Super Bowl where you have 100 million, don't seem so big. But for linear television, those numbers are huge. Last year's playoffs on average, which, of course, go on for almost 3 months, was 5.47 million. So when you're looking at something like this year where you're going to have we're going to already have the Lakers playing tomorrow
Saturday.
The Nuggets. You're going to have the Clippers playing against the Mavericks on Sunday. And, of course, this isn't over yet. We still have two more teams in the play-ins. We still have the Bulls versus the Miami Heat to see who's going to get the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. And, of course, we have the Sacramento Kings versus the Pelicans for who's going to get the eighth spot in the Western Conference. My point being is live sports, as you said, Larry, is the holy grail. Add to that the spice of two LA teams in the playoffs. Add to that. See, my voice is breaking because I'm so
It is exciting.
That, the fact is that these are numbers that matter, and these are things that are going to keep us going for weeks. And also, let's be completely clear, coming off the huge success of the NCAA tournament with the men's, but especially the women's tournament, Caitlin Collins and Reese, let's give a shout out to them. Basketball has got America's attention right now in this election year. So I think this playoffs is going to be something that's going to get many, many people watching because everybody's playing.
Yeah, good point. Dominic Patton joining us, senior editor at Deadline. Let's talk next about Dinner with the Parents, which is streaming on another free platform, Freevee, the series starring Michaela Watkins and Dan Bacadal, the series created by John Beckerman, who adapted this from the British series Friday Night Dinner. Danette, what do you think about the comedy Dinner with the Parents?
Yeah, I hope you don't mind if I draw another comparison, but it reminds me of it makes me think of Curb Your Enthusiasm meets Modern Family. Yeah. It's not a mockumentary, but it combines the same kind of like candid and exceedingly awkward comedy of something like Curb and the original series, right? Friday Night Dinner. But it, you know, takes the edge off with sweeter moments. You know, John Beckerman's background is in American sitcom, so we can kind of expect him to take a bit of the edge off of the British original. But I don't think we have to worry about this becoming, you know, all morals, you know, all like happy lessons. Everybody loves each other, but there are absolutely moments where you kind of wonder if they don't also hate each other a little bit. What I enjoy most about the show is it captures how conflicted we can feel when we go home. You know, like home is this place of comfort, but it's also for some of us as a side of like, a place of like personal triumphs as much as humiliations, right? Only in Dinner with the Parents, you know, it's not just like your basic childhood trauma or embarrassing mom and dad. Like there are way more heightened scenarios, like someone breaks into their crush's house to retrieve a Valentine that they did not realize was obscene. It's very Curb. And then in another instance, someone fakes an illness to keep their dad rock band from breaking up. You know, it's you'll recognize your family, but you'll also be kind of grateful that this isn't your family. And I mean that in the best way. The cast is fantastic. You know, Michaela Watkins, Dan Bacadal, Daniel Thrasher, who's new to TV, but is a YouTube creator, actually looks so much like Dan Bacadal. It's wild. You've got a legend like Carol Kane and Henry Hill. Julia Louis-Dreyfus's son is also really good as the kind of prodigal son.
Dinner with the Parents, streaming on the Freevee platform, premiering today. There'll be a total of 10 episodes of the comedy series. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dominic and Danette about the season finale of Manhunt, streaming on Apple TV Plus, Control-Alt-Desire, which is a documentary miniseries. And Dom will weigh in on the White House Correspondents' Dinner as well. This is TV Talk from LAist 89.3. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Larry Mantle, and you're listening to Air Talk's TV Talk, a weekly review of the newest cable TV, broadcast television, and streaming series. Let's get back to reviews. Next up is the series Manhunt, its season finale. It streams on Apple TV Plus. This is the series that's set in the immediate aftermath of the assassination of President Lincoln. Will Harrison, Tobias Menzies, and Anthony Boyle star Monica Beletsky is the creator of this series. Dominic, your thoughts on how this season ends, Manhunt?
Well, you know, spoiler alert. A lot of people get put on trial for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth is not one of them, as we saw in the episode that dropped last week on Apple, because he's killed in this. But what's interesting about this that I really want to talk about for Manhunt is this is a show that has kind of fallen under the radar and yet might be one of the most important shows of 2024, in my opinion. It is a show that is very much talking about the times we're living in, both political violence and the great divisions in the country, divisions that many people believe we have not seen since the Civil War, though that's subjective to some degree, obviously. Also, Tobias Menzies is just absolutely outstanding in this. If you loved him in The Crown, if you loved him in other shows, you will find here he is at his top as War Secretary Edward Stanton. And what's interesting about this seven episodes, and with the seventh episode dropping tomorrow, the finale, is this is a complete story, which is not something we actually see that much on television, streaming or linear that much anymore. It is total. There's not really anywhere else to go with this story, so they tell it, and I find what I loved about Manhunt, and again, historical facts are what they are, so you already know how this is going to end. This is, you mentioned Monica, the showrunner and creator of this. This is smart, lean, to-the-point writing. It's the sort of thing that others should watch just for the, people should watch not only for the pleasure of watching the story, but also for the format and the narrative. It's a work of craft. Craft to be admired.
And it's billed as a season finale. Does that mean, you know, once this concludes with the trial, that there won't be another season, or is the potential for that to happen?
Well, it's hard to have another season, being that the main character, played by Tobias Menzies, Civil War Secretary Edward Stanton, died about 5 years later, not long after the dust-up with President Johnson, and then when Ulysses S. Grant appointed him to the Supreme Court, he died. But I do think there's a very good, you know, true crime sells in America on the small and big screen. So I do think there's a great possibility for Apple to turn this into a franchise, whether or not it's another presidential assassination. Fact being is there were several of them through the last part of the 19th century and obviously into the 20th.
We're talking about Manhunt. Its season finale is releasing tomorrow. It's the seventh episode of Manhunt, streaming on Apple TV Plus. Control-Alt-Desire is streaming on Paramount Plus. It's a true crime documentary miniseries directed by Colin Archdeacon. It tells the story of Grant Amato, convicted of murdering his parents and his brother. Danette, what did you think of Control-Alt-Desire?
You know, the churn of true crime has led to a bunch of underdeveloped ideas and overlong projects. But I think this is an example of how personal the genre is becoming. In recent months, we've had docs like Great Photo, Lovely Life, and The Truth About Jim, which have focused on like a personal connection to the subject matter of the documentaries. Colin Archdeacon had no prior connection to Grant Amato, who was convicted of murdering his entire family. But the last hour of Control-Alt-Desire feels very personal. You know, it's, the director, this is his first documentary. He's a longtime director of photography, but this is his first, this is his directorial debut. And, as much as he tries to stay behind the camera, you know, and not become the story, just think about the irony of someone whose last name being Archdeacon getting a confession essentially from, a convicted murderer. And it's in the final hour of the series, which is a three-parter, and it's out in full now. It's when it really starts to distinguish itself from all the other true crime out there.
And the story itself, this involves also an obsessive relationship with an internet cam model. So, I mean, there's a wide range of sort of things it sounds like to explore in the three episodes.
Absolutely. That he said that Archdeacon said that that's what drew him to the project, right? Is, examining how, again, technology actually creates a greater distance between people in real life. And I'm certain that there are some people that will bring up the whole male loneliness epidemic. That kind of felt like well-trod ground to me. That was not the most groundbreaking part of it. For me, what I found most interesting was really seeing a first-time documentary maker, kind of find the line, like walk right up to the line without really crossing it.
Control Alt Desire, a three-episode documentary miniseries on Paramount Plus. And the White House Correspondents' Dinner is airing on C-SPAN as well as on Cable News Channel. It's coming up on April 27th, put on by the White House Correspondents' Association. It raises money for journalism awards and for scholarships. I have to say, Dominic, it's an event that always makes me a little queasy. These people that are covering the White House, they're laughing and, rubbing shoulders with governmental officials in D.C. But, what are your thoughts about this event?
Well, I will say I'm attending it this year, and I've attended it in the past. Saturday Night Live's Colin Jost is going to be the after president speaker, as they say, so expect some degree of mild roasting. Probably not as much as Roy Wood Jr. did last year, and certainly less than others have done, but more than some. The president will obviously get up, is expected to get up and give a speech, which will be full of barbs throwing at some of his political and media enemies, as well as probably knowing Joe Biden, some inspirational words about who we are as a country in this year of election. But yes, I mean, I think you're very right, Larry. And of course, is a huge celebrity portion of this now, which has happened over the past 20 years. Last year there were people like, well, SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher was there, who we expect to be there this year. This Is Us star Justin Hartley, Lena Headey, who was on Game of Thrones, John Legend was there, Rosario Dawson, many others. Some of the cast members of Vanderpump Rules were there, Caitlyn Jenner, et cetera, et cetera, and some SNL alum. This has become, say, people refer to it as Nerd Fest or Nerd Prom, but this is sort of, if you're wondering about a bi-coastal elite, I got to tell you, the basement of the Washington Hilton is where they're going to be next Saturday. Having said that, what's interesting about this is as television, because what we're talking about, C-SPAN, of course, have the cameras in there, and they're filming almost everything, and they do it wall to wall, and you actually get to really see some interactions between people, as well as you can learn about the work that journalists are doing around the world and the scholarships that are being handed out. At the same time, others, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox News, all of them get in there with a feed, and they all have their take on it. So it's a very interesting look at how journalism covers journalism in
Oh,
many
yeah,
ways.
I bet you
As
could.
a journalist, I will say I find that somewhat interesting.
That is interesting. You could flip from channel to channel and see, as you say, the way in which they frame it. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful time at the dinner, Dominic. I'm sure you will. It's a week from Saturday night in D.C., the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the Pure Feed on C-SPAN. Thanks so much to our critics, Danette Chavez, editor-in-chief at Primetimer, and Dominic Patton, senior editor for Deadline. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Support for LAist comes from Wheel Gear Theatricum Botanicum, returning with a season of outdoor summer repertory theater on its scenic stage in the woods of Topanga, with picnicking in the gardens before the show. A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, along with The Winter's Tale, Wendy's Peter Pan, and Tartuffe Born Again, set at a TV station in Baton Rouge. And for a contentious election year, Bernardo Cubría's The Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latin Vote. Tickets at theatricum.com.